Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Bird Show.
Let's get to the results of Wendy's video versus Kate Gosselin.
All right.
This happened about a week and a half ago that you came in here, right?
Yeah, I challenged Kate Gosselin that I could do a jive better than she could because on Dancing with the Stars, they're given a week to learn a new dance. And that week it was the jive, and she just did awful, like a horrible jive. No effort, wasn't trying to do the dance, wasn't getting the steps right. So I came in here with my big mouth and said I could do it a lot better. And I trained for a week, and then I performed it on Friday at Dazza Dance.
And Stacey, now my wife's in the studio this morning also. We were there, and she just, I mean, Wendy kicked ass.
She killed it.
She did.
It was just
she
so nailed much it. Fun. I had a blast doing it.
The video is so much fun to watch. Yeah. I think Melissa and I were talking about it yesterday. Like, you were literally cheering after watching it.
Katie and I watched it on Saturday because we couldn't be there Friday night, and we literally cheered out loud in the house.
The whole scene Friday night after she danced was like the last couple of minutes in Rudy when one person just started clapping. And then it was the whole room. Oh my God! We were just part of history!
It was exciting though. I had so much fun.
Well, you did a great job.
Oh, and she looked fabulous.
Didn't she?
I mean, stop it. She looked so good. She came out and I was like, I mean, you couldn't even. Yeah, she looked awesome.
Just the right amount of hair extension, the right amount of tan, the right amount of dress.
Yeah, fake pony airbrush,
and the
tan,
right hot
dress.
Partner right next to you too.
I
wasn't
know.
Antonio the cutest?
Oh, good God!
That was out loud, Stacey.
Oh, the way he wears those pants.
I know.
How does he do that?
I know.
You know what? She said the same thing about you and your crutches. The way he crutches along, God,
he can come over to my house as much as I want, talk as much as you want, Antonio. But at some point, you got to leave, and I reap the benefits.
Yes.
Yeah, he is delicious.
So the deal was that we were going to put Wendy's dance up online and compare it to Kate Gosselin's, and you guys would vote for 24 or 48 hours. And if Wendy's video beat Kate Gosselin's, then I would hand over $100. And we have some, we got results now. Jeff, would you like to do the honors?
Oh, yeah. Let me pull them up. This is this does not suck, Wendy. Kate Gosselin received 106 votes.
She That's just, did?
Which is, I was offended by.
Huh, okay.
Wow.
I was offended that 106 people
106
voted.
People thought Kate Gosselin danced.
Now, could you only vote once, or is that one person who voted 106 well, times for Kate Gosselin?
It's her kids that voted a couple times.
Yeah.
Each kid yeah, once.
Each kid voted twice.
Yeah, that's true.
However, Wendy, 1,426 people thought you voted.
I mean, not even close.
Woo! Awesome.
You get the long trumpet for that.
You danced your way into their hearts, Wendy.
I'm not going home this week. See ya, Kate.
Yeah, the video is up online right now. Thanks. And I would like to get one of the 106 that voted for Kate because I'm not seeing what you're seeing.
Yeah.
Get it? The Bird Show.
I know from the outside looking in, man, I mean, you guys are listening to a radio station. If you've never been to one, man, it must seem like almost sometimes like bigger than life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the engineering around here must be awesome. They must have the most up-to-date technology. It's a radio station.
We make so much money.
Not on our network, man.
A lot.
Our network here is so slow, dude. I mean, it's devastatingly slow. Mm-hmm. To get anything done on our computer network is crazy, crazy slow. So we decided months ago, we got our own little separate Burt Show budget, and we were going to do something about it.
So we I said, you know, we got to buy some new computers because we're upgrading our website and, you know, just to have new computers. So I put it, filled out a purchase order. It's the same as you do it, you know,
corporate
most offices
office.
Do. Mm-hmm. And I filled it out and under the reason why I was requesting like $6,000 for, you know, five new computers or whatever it was, I put because the ones we have suck ass. And that was actually...
That was on the PO.
Yeah,
that got good. That'll get you what you want.
No, it didn't.
We have
Jeff
such a
knows how to play the political game, man.
That got rejected.
Really?
Wow. Shocking.
So I had to fill it out again, and I had to come up with a more politically correct way to say. So I was like, the equipment that we currently have is outdated and does not seem to have the capabilities to. So I sent that one in.
Did you write that on the form too?
You understand the red tape here, man. Like in any office, like the red tape to get anything done is like exhausting. You know, it's not like a one day process. We're talking about weeks, if not months, to get things done, right?
So then I
and in the meantime, everybody's frustrated because we're working on these really slow computers. You know, even though Jeff is trying to cut through this whole thing.
So then I get word back that management is questioning why we need so many computers. You know, why can't we just have one new computer? I said, well, there's times where like either Bert or Tracy or myself are doing like producer type things. And at the same time, Melissa might be pulling up a news story and Jen might be pulling up a entertainment post story and Joanna might be updating the website. Like all that stuff potentially could happen at the same time. And we shouldn't have to wait in line. Like we have the money in the budget. It shouldn't be that big of a deal.
It's not even like the radio station's budget.
So
it's our budget, so we shouldn't have to go to anybody to get it, which makes it even doubly
more frustrating,
right? This is our cash.
So then our general manager, Gary, is he's a busy man. He travels a lot. He works for corporate also. So it's a rarity to see him in the building. And I had an opportunity yesterday. He was in the studio, and I said, Gary, you know what? I need you to sign this PO because I need these new computers. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go in and get on the computer that Joanna uses, and it's a desktop computer that sits on Bert's desk.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to sit down at the computer, and I want you to do three things for me. I want you to go to YouTube and play any YouTube video, and then I want you to go to your email, and I want you to read any email, and then I want you to go to any website and read a news story.
You finally got the man in front of you that can make the decision, right? So you,
and here's what
you get him cornered.
Right.
Here's what I know from looking over Joanna's shoulder when you know when I've been in there is like I'll say, hey, can you change this on the website? And she'll go, yep, and she'll click on it, and literally minutes pass before the update window opens. Or I'll say, hey, did you watch the video that Jen sent? Should we put that on the website? She'll click on it, and it's buffering, buffering.
It's as if there was dial-up, but it's really just the computer function because it's so old.
We could get Rhett in here, and we could reenact the video that she was trying to download live and get it up faster than we can watch it on YouTube.
You know, and she like makes sure the phone handset is like really solid down in the cradle for the dial-up modem and everything. Like, So I tell Gary to sit down and do those three things, and guess what happens?
What?
Flawless.
Of course.
Quick, no problem, video playing.
No way.
Email opens up.
Which computer was he on?
The one that sits on Bert's desk.
You're kidding.
Yeah, the one that's...
No, that never works.
Your office?
The one that...
Built in 1988.
Yes.
And that's the one I think, you know what, I think that computer is a conspiracy theory going on between the printer and my computer in the office.
To jack with you?
Because we've had so many problems with both of them. But that one is used by the night show also and everybody else, so there's all sorts of crap on that computer, and I can't believe we finally had an opportunity to prove to this guy how slowly the network runs, and he gets on it, and it's like we just got
that.
A brand new computer.
Now, yours is one of the worst.
Yeah, and everything opened right up, and I was sitting there, like, the video started running, and I'm like, okay, well, the video's running. Wait till he tries to read his email, and like, click, 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 and next thing I know, he's like,
no problem.
Hey, Jeff, I'm sitting at the computer, and it's working fine. Tool bag, love, Gary, send. Hey, that worked okay. I'm watching a video right now. So then I tried to get him to, you know, do the porn stuff that Bert does that slows it down. And he said, apparently you're not supposed to do that in the office. So we skipped
Gary's
over that.
Where does it say that? Where is it in writing? Where is it in writing?
And then so everything opened fine. So I had to turn into just begging mode. And I'm like, dude, have you ever taken your car to the mechanic? Because every time it when it rains, it goes, and then the minute you pull into the mechanic and you start the car.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you pulled it out of the dealership. Have you ever done that? And Gary's like, yeah. And I'm like, what about this? You go to the doctor because you have a nagging cough. But as soon as you get in the waiting room, you don't even have to cough. He's like, yep. And I'm like, so please let us have computers. Please, please, please.
So the bottom line is we're stuck with these things for a while, I think.
He didn't sign it?
I think he's going to.
Is he?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a consistent theme because we teased about the printers. I mean, the printers have been here before. I got here in 95, and these same printers
these
were here in 95.
Printers.
Really?
Yes.
These are the same printers that when I started here in 95.
Like, these printers look like, you know, in your textbooks a couple of years ago when they showed you what the first mainframe computers in the world looked like.
Yes.
How they occupied one
room.
The whole room.
That half our floors are printers and computers.
That's what our printers look like. Seriously.
Oh, it's bad. So, oh no.
So we're stuck with these same ones. Mm. Yeah. So we're still working on it.
Yeah, and it's so funny how, a friend of mine who I had mentioned who has had, so funny how has had surgery and actually works for the government, and she's had to work from home because of her surgery. They provided her an iPad so that she could be able to work easier from home.
Is that right?
Nice.
And I'm like, really? That's cool. Let me tell you about the computers we have at work.
Well, yeah. I've written a strongly worded letter, and right after the show, I'm going to take it down to the mimeograph machine and make 3 copies of it.
Listen, it's the Bert Show.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
This is The Bert Show.
So let's go around the room here. Jeff, as far as astrological signs go, you are a what and Jessica is a what?
I am a Scorpio and Jessica is a talker.
How long have you been married now? What year are we in? Because the tone has definitely
started.
She's
been started. Out of town that you're talking about.
The last 6 months, the tone has definitely changed.
Is that not an astrological sign?
Yeah, it's just the one with the mouth. There's the unicorn, the fish, and the mouth.
She's an Aries.
She's an Aries, okay. Yes. Jen, you and Superman?
I am Pisces, and he is an Aries, I guess. Is that beginning of April? What's Aries' dates?
Yeah, Jessica's April 5th, yes. And she's an Aries, so is he in that vicinity?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Melissa Cartel, you and Katie, Joe.
I'm a Pisces, and Katie is a Scorpio.
Pisces and Scorpio.
Don't ask me, I'm alone.
Oh. Sorry,
baby.
That's
really sad.
But what are you?
I'm a Cancer.
So that way you'll know who you need to
stay away from.
I can tell you who you can stay away from.
That's what you need to do, Wendy, is eliminate people from your dating pool.
Because Cancer is on this list with somebody else. Your dating Antichrist was a what?
Sagittarius.
Okay. And I am an Aries, and my wife is a Taurus. Every important woman that I've ever had in my life has been a Taurus.
Really?
Really, really strange, yeah. Cancer and Aquarius is on this list as one of the five worst astrological pairings on the planet.
Why?
I can't date Justin Timberlake.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
you know
he probably knows that, and that's why he's avoiding you.
Stand by, please. You know his sign, and you think your friends are celebrity obsessed?
That's from when I was a teenager.
That's a good point.
That's my teenage crush.
I don't think you can say it.
Different, Jeff.
My friend is so obsessed with celebrities. It's so annoying. Oh, my God. My sign's like a better one. Justin Timberlake. Oh, no.
Tomorrow we'll compare blood types and we'll see if you and Justin maybe are a better fit. Here's what it says about Cancer and Aquarius. So if you're dating an Aquarius right now and you're Cancer, vice versa, you just might want to look at them and just go, okay, here are the warning signs. Out and about Aquarius and couch potato Cancer will clash on many levels, but none more than intimacy and settling down.
Okay.
The Aquarian's cool, almost iciness demeanor will frustrate the emotional touchy-feely Cancer. Aquarius is guarded while Cancer pleads for openness. While Aquarians are sexual adventure seekers, conservative Cancers lean more to the cuddly. Family, home, and stability are the three things that Cancer seek, while aloof Aquarius just lives to be the life of the party.
Okay.
All right, so you and Justin T?
Sorry, Justin.
No. Gemini and Aries. Known for their split personalities, they need a submissive companion sign to handle their on-again, off-again moods. They're talking about Gemini. That submissiveness isn't something they're likely to find in large amounts should they find themselves falling for Aries. Rather, when the chameleon like Gemini has changed his or her personality one too many times, you can bet your lucky charm that Aries is going to take off. Okay, so that is Gemini and Aries.
Okay.
One of the worst astrological pairings. Scorpio and Leo. Imagine a lion and a scorpion fighting to the death, and this is exactly how the chemistry between a Leo and Scorpio would be. Leo is the lion, is controlling, as is the possessive Scorpio, and if you expect that sparks will fly in the bedroom, it will probably be more like pairs of shoes hurled at each other because of an explosive argument.
Is that what you and your ex Chandra were?
I don't remember what she was.
Because didn't she throw a shoe at you?
She did. It was a phone, actually, I think. It wasn't a shoe.
Oh,
yeah,
it was
a phone.
Shoe.
Yeah. One astrological or astrologist said that many of these love matches end up in crimes of passion. Again, that's Scorpio and Leo right there. One of the worst also astrological pairings, Virgo and Sagittarius. These two signs will find themselves frequently at a crossroads, a standoff, and even arguing about the color of the sky. When Sagittarius is ready to leap to the bottom of the deep blue sea, Virgo studies its practicality, putting much thought before putting one foot in front of the other. So, Virgo and Sagittarius, not so good for each other. Famous Virgo-Sagittarius couple, Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Are they really a couple?
Yeah. They are, but they never refer to each other.
Yeah.
And this one may be worst of all of them.
Okay.
If you're a Pisces, you'd want to avoid at all cost a Taurus. Stubborn Taurus finds the impracticality of Pisces annoying. Add to that Pisces' bad habit of having an opinion about everything and the bull's short fuse, and you have enough combustion for an implosion. And it states right here, this is perhaps the most stressful love pairing in the entire zodiac. And that one is Pisces and Taurus, okay? Mm-hmm.
Have you ever dated a Taurus, Melissa?
I
don't think I have either.
I've driven one.
Because we're both Pisces.
That's all I've ever had in my life. And I know there are some people that take this stuff so seriously.
Mm-hmm. I do.
You do?
I will never date a Sagittarius.
Is that because you had a bad experience mm-hmm. with one Sagittarius?
Absolutely.
Whether you read into it or not, there is some similarities mm-hmm. with people who have the same sign.
Sometimes when you read them, you're like, damn, yeah, that's right on. Good morning, Q100, Berkshire.
Hi, guys. I wanted to let you know that is so true. I am in the process. I'm a Sagittarius, and I'm in the process of getting a divorce from a Virgo.
Uh-huh.
And I promise you, it was like hell on earth. We had dinner. We argued about the color of the rice. We argued about which way to drive. And it wasn't just like relationship petty arguments. It was intense, heated arguments. And plus, he was from another country to add more fuel to the fire.
What country was he from?
It was like a double doozy for me.
What country was he from?
He was from Liberia.
Oh, yeah. We could have told you that.
Talk about, like, racist is one thing. When people argue about race when you're in a relationship, that's small potatoes. When you talk about other country and immigration issues, oh my God. And then you're both the wrong sign.
Stay away from those Virgo Liberians.
I've heard
that all my life. Stay away from Virgo Liberians.
This is The Bird Show.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's the Burt Show.
This is a story that we're sort of chewing over right now.
That's right. In Bedford County, Tennessee, they are now launching an investigation into a woman who lives there, and she had adopted a child from Russia, a 7-year-old boy from Russia. And it was last week that apparently she had had enough because he had some behavioral issues. One of the Burt Show listeners let us know the details of that, which was he threatened to kill the family, he threatened to burn down the house. So he was not an easy child. And so she decided that she would put him on a plane by himself back to Russia with a note that says that they no longer wanted him.
All right, Jade wants to tell us that this is a little more common than we know. Hey, Jade, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I was calling to let you know, unfortunately, this is really, really common. It's not something that's unheard of when you're doing adoption. When you're doing adoption, because my family's been dealing with this since I was a little girl, adopting in foster care. And when you're doing it, they do ask you what you want. So your scenario, Bert, was a good one. They ask you what you want, age, what you're looking for. And they try to fit that. But it's very common for them to sometimes lie or stretch the truth or not give you everything mm-hmm. because there's so many kids that need home.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But, like, my grandmother adopted 2 boys. And my grandmother has been doing foster care since I was a little girl, 8 years old. And the only reason she adopted these 2 is because they never knew their mother. Okay, long story short, at the end, these boys had tried to burn down my grandmother's house, tried to kill my grandmother, and just were, because she was older, started trying to overpower her. And you have to realize, I understand the passion in the other women in the room, mm-hmm. but you have to realize these kids go through so much. So by age 8, you know, mm-hmm. it's stuff that we would never, if we raise our kids in loving, nurturing homes, that we would never put our kids through. Mm-hmm. But there's so much stuff. You mean mm-hmm. abuse, and I just don't want to get into it because it's too early in the morning, but it's just so much stuff that the worst that you could possibly imagine. And they just get shipped from place to place to place.
Ships.
So although this woman did this, I don't agree with how she did it.
Right. Uh-huh.
But I can completely understand saying, whoa, this is a bit much for my family. This is not what I was looking for.
All right. Let's focus on the one thing that Jay did tell us right there, though. Because in our scenario, this is really the debatable part that's so passionate. So what she said there is the adoption agency sometimes will stretch the truth or they'll forget from time to tell you one or two things about the child to get the child into a home and out of foster care. So for our debate, let's just say that the adoption agency, the fostering agency, knew about the behavioral problems. Look, we can create a whole bunch of different scenarios, autism, perhaps, whatever. And didn't tell the adopted family. The debate here is, once you get that child and you realize that the child had pre-existing conditions that they didn't tell you about, is it right for you to just call them back up and go, this is not what you told us?
Now, I want to say...
And send the child back.
From using the scenario that I'm defending, because I think there are scenarios where you can send that child back. If you are working with children who are in the foster program, I think there is an expectation, and this is not a knock on foster kids, you know, for a lack of another way to describe them, but children who are in the foster program, I think that that requires a level of understanding and a level of patience, knowing that they've
yes.
probably mm-hmm. had a tough time mm-hmm. of it.
They have mm-hmm. had a hard time.
Yes. So I'm talking about a situation where – I'm talking about this exact situation where it's a Russian adoption agency who provided a description of a child that was not accurate.
If the child landed, Tracy, mm-hmm. and was blind and couldn't hear.
I think when you have made a commitment to adopt a child, it's a human being. We're not talking about a tractor from Lowe's. We're not talking about a product. You are not buying something. You have made a commitment to get a human being. So at that point, it's not the child's fault that the adoption agency misrepresented them. You have signed the papers. You made that commitment. At that point, you are that baby's or that child, however old they are, you are their parents. It is not their fault and is not their problem that an organization or an agency that coordinated this whole thing misrepresented that child. Like, you made the commitment. You handled the situation how you would if your 9-year-old biological child started having these issues.
So mentally, you are the parent. As soon as that mm-hmm. baby lands mentally,
and if you're not prepared to make that commitment when you sign those papers, then don't do it. Don't even go into the process. You have to assume that... I mean, make the assumption that they're going to be misrepresenting
that child. Why would you make that assumption? Let's say you have a situation where there's a child that requires around-the-clock care, whether it's whatever the situation is, you've just adopted an unhealthy child, but you have two of your own that are healthy, and it's going to require one parent to quit. It's going to require one parent to quit their job. So you have a conversation with your spouse. You and Scott have a conversation, and you decide, hey, you know what? We have room in our home and room in our bank accounts and room in our heart to bring in another child to this family. And, you know, and you call the adoption agency and you say, we want, you know, whatever. And they don't tell you that that child requires some sort of specialized care that will affect the way you care for Ella and affect the relationship that you have with Scott and will damage your family.
Jen's not buying this either.
I agree. Then don't even open yourself up to that potential, because you know what? If I have right now, I have Ella, and our house is pretty, it runs pretty smoothly right now. And in a couple years, we might want to open ourselves up to the possibility of having another child biologically, or we could adopt. Who knows? But that's a risk that you take when you open yourself up to parenthood.
But
get an easy child.
Jen
wants
in on this too.
I still think it's a human being, and it's a soul, and it's an innocent child who it's no fault of their own. And I think that it's still your kid. I think when you sign up for the process, regardless of how that, you know, agency, you know, withheld information from you or not, or how it's going to affect your family, you signed up for adoption. It's your child. That's a It's a life. That's a human being. It's a soul.
Here's Savannah. Good morning, Savannah. You are part of the Burt Show.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning. Morning.
I just think it's ridiculous to say that if an adoption agency is knowingly dishonest with you, that you should just be expected to absorb that completely. I think it's unacceptable. Yeah, you have the argument that this is a human being, and I think the woman with the child she adopted from Russia, I think that's probably an extreme case, and I'm sure other people experience extreme cases too, but the fact is that you go sign papers because you're willing to open up your family to another child that needs a home, but it's not okay for them to just send you a child saying, well, this is what you're getting, and it's not what you're getting. The fact is that you're signing a contract.
The debate here really is, when does motherhood start then when you're adopting a child? Does motherhood start as soon as you sign the papers or as soon as the childhood arrives? Because the child arrives. Because what you're saying is, once you sign the papers and you're accepted, doesn't matter. You're a mom at this point. Well, that is your child. There's no turning back.
We're debating this case, and at this point, the child had already arrived, and she sent the baby back at that point. I mean, this is not a product. You made the commitment to be this child's parents. It's not like, yes, did the adoption agency do something wrong? Of course they did. They lied. They misrepresented. But we're not talking about a tractor. We're talking about a child, and you are that child's parents now.
What if the child showed up a different race? Is that enough?
That's what I was gonna say.
Mm-hmm. I mean, is that enough to send the child back? Like, Jeff, like, you've got your whitey white bread family and you're going to adopt one child and you think that that child is going to be a white kid from California. But guess what? You get a 6-month-old Asian little girl.
My opinion is that...
Or you get a 6-month-old black little boy. Is it okay to send it back?
My opinion is that if you are working with an adoption agency and you are told that you are being delivered one thing, and you receive something else, you have a right to go back to that adoption agency and accuse them of fraud and return the product.
Jeff is looking at this more business-like. You guys are looking at it more.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, an eight-year-old child knows that it's being sent back. An 8-year-old child knows. A 10-year-old child knows. A 5-year-old child knows. The thing that I think that if you were... Anybody that goes through adoption knows you sit and you wait. I mean, it is a long process in order to adopt a child, and it's a very expensive process to adopt a child. And my concern is, if you know you're adopting a child and you want a child that is older, who is aware of what's going on, we're not talking about an infant. We're talking about a child that knows what's going on. Then you have to know that that child, and I'm going to say it, has behavioral problems, because all that child has ever known is that it's not wanted.
Abandoned.
And I got to say that I don't think, in my heart of hearts, I could ever contribute to furthering letting that child know, you are not good enough, you are not wanted, I am sending you back. I could not do it, no.
I feel like do it. I feel like the national anthem should be playing behind you right now.
But I'm just saying, I mean, I just think that if people researched and looked into the foster care system, because, okay, one story that I remember from my friend from years ago, she was in the foster care system, and it's not just parents, it's not just people in their family. She was in the foster care system here in Atlanta, Georgia. And she would go to school, and the school system would send the foster kids home before they took annual pictures. So she was never in a yearbook because she was a foster child. So it's everybody in that child's world telling it, you are not good enough. And it's a shame that people would be willing participants in letting that kid further know that.
Angela, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show.
First, let me say amen to Melissa. Second, it's y'all are talking like it's a mail order bride thing. She has to go over and meet the child. They don't send the child to her. She actually has to go over and pick up the child. Mm-hmm. And you have to spend a few days with the child to decide if that's the child you want. So she knew what she was getting. As far as behavioral problems, I was adopted when I was 3. I was a perfect little angel until a year later, and I went ballistic. So there's no guarantee on a child. It's a human being. One day your child could be fantastically normal, and the next day they could be out of control.
But that's not Jeff's debate.
That's your child. Yeah. Sign that paperwork. You are mom or you are dad.
That's not the debate, though, that we're having. What Jeff is saying is your child product is faulty before it leaves the factory, he's saying.
And I'll use Jen's example. She used race, but that's polarizing because every time you say race, it becomes polarizing. But if you have a family with 3 sons in it and you don't want to risk having a 4th son, you want a daughter, and you go to an adoption agency and you say, I want a daughter, and something happens and what arrives is a boy.
So then you have a boy.
Then you have a boy.
And Wendy, my opinion?
Oh, absolutely.
You keep it. No matter how it comes, you keep it.
It's a being. They've got feelings. If I was, I would feel so bad about myself.
Let's not make it 8 years old.
If it's eight days old.
Let's make it 1 day old, and you
go into the adoption agency and point through the nursery.
And say, there's your son.
Why wouldn't you say, we don't want a son?
But you know what you're getting. You have to go meet the child
first. It's 1 day old. It was just born.
We don't agree with you, Jeff. I mean, as simple as we don't agree with you.
You're the parent to a child, not a purchaser of a product.
I mean, people adopt babies and infants from teenagers all the time who are giving their babies up for adoption. They don't get to see what their product is before they get it.
A whole bunch of you guys wanted to comment on this, and we just don't have time. So what we'll do is we'll link on over to the story from our website at Q100Atlanta.com, and we have a comment section there. And you guys can do what you want right there. All right. And again, I apologize for the mature debate on the show.
Here, Bird Show.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Bird Show.
Apparently the movie you guys were trying to remember was called Orphan.
Okay.
That's the first thing we need to know. Orphan. Jenny, good morning. You are on The Bird Show. Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
I just wanted to say that I actually know a family that adopted a little girl and had to return her. The story is, it was a mom and a dad, and they had two sons, and they really wanted a little girl, so they decided to adopt, and it was actually a U.S. girl, but the girl started wreaking havoc in the home, and she was making lots of sexual advances towards the husband, so they ended up having to return her because she just created total chaos in the house.
I know we're talking about human beings, but using the words they had to return her sounds so like PetSmart.
Like I got a puppy at PetSmart.
Do you save your receipt?
I think it's a different thing if you're fostering a teenager or you're taking in a grown-up kid. I think that's a different scenario.
How old was the child?
Bert, you presented it. It seemed like, here's your infant. And then like, oh, sorry, don't want it.
Got to return it.
Right.
I think the little girl was around 8 years old, give or take a year or so.
See, then why not take her to a doctor or a specialist that's your child now? Why not get it fixed?
I think I actually tried that for several months, and I think it was like a six to eight month period that they had the little girl before they returned her.
That must have been a painful decision.
The argument, though, that Bert makes is a very valid one. Like, if you order one thing and are delivered something else just because it's a human,
you can't order behavior. I mean, that just happens in this situation.
I think this is a whole commentary on the foster care system, too, because I think that, you know, an infant, I think, is different because an infant you bring into your home and then, you know, anything that's going on with that infant is your responsibility, like the nature-nurture thing. But I think that when you get older and older, I think it's really sad because I've known people in my life that have been through the foster care system, and it is hell. So I think there's a reason that some of these kids have evolved into having behavioral problems because they haven't had a great shot at life in the foster care system.
Well, if there are pre-existing conditions that you don't know of, that they don't tell you about beforehand, and then the child arrives, especially if they're true medical and they've been diagnosed, child arrives and you aren't told about that, I think you have a pretty good
–
I mean,
case.
It's going to be a painful decision to make. But if you weren't told, then you got to take a good hard look at your family and a good hard look at yourself and say, I don't know that we can handle this.
But can't you look at it from a spiritual perspective, too? I mean, that would be part of the struggle is like, you know, was this part of the plan? Like, you know, is our family supposed to raise this child? You know, did God bring this child to us, even though this is not what we expected? You know, we were going to Spain, but we ended up in Holland.
Taking the human aspect out of it, which is tough, but
that's not possible. That's not what you're arguing about. You're not talking about lawnmowers. You get a defective lawnmower. Yes, take it back to Lowe's.
If you have two children in your family and you bring a dog into the house, and that dog bites both of your children and attacks
that's
every visitor,
different
that comes,
than
that comes
a kid.
Over.
It's a human being.
So if you bring a child into your house and the child bites both of your other kids and attacks people when they come over to the house,
it is different.
It's completely different.
It's totally different.
Why?
Because you're contributing. I mean, you have an opportunity. Maybe that same scenario has played. Maybe that opportunity has played out in this child's life up to this point to make them that way. So now here you are again giving up a child, causing more That's the word I'm looking for.
Damage.
More damage and more just abandonment issues. Mm-hmm. Again, when you could be the one to turn the child around.
Right.
Tracy, producer Tracy here has some very strong opinions about this.
I can't believe this is even a debate. I mean, you signed up for this. When you adopt a child, you don't get a choice. Like, I don't get to send Ella back with a post-it because she doesn't sleep through the night.
But we're talking about older children. So let's talk about the story was an 8-year-old.
Yeah, but still, like, you adopt the child. You chose to have that child become your son or your daughter. Mm-hmm. If you don't get what you want, you don't send it back with a post-it note.
But mm-hmm. I'm talking about Bert's scenario where... You said, I have two children. I need a healthy, well-adjusted, blah, blah, blah. This is what I want. And then when you receive your child.
Great. And if I have two children and I decide I want to biologically have another one, I don't get to say I only want an easy one that fits into my family.
But you're not saying that. You're saying, hey, you know what? We could open our house up to another child. But we can't afford therapy bills, medical bills, this, that, another thing we have to have.
And what happens if the adoption agency then sends what they think is a completely healthy child and then 2 years down the road?
It's not Bert's scenario. Bert's scenario is the child has been diagnosed before the adoption agency gave it to the family.
Okay, and the adoption agency, for whatever reason, wasn't completely honest with them. But you have already agreed to be that parent, that child's parent at that point.
You agreed to be the parent of a healthy child.
But you don't get to agree to be a parent to a healthy child or not a healthy child.
1 year from that point, the child gets hit by a car, survives the accident.
Stop changing the scenario.
It's different.
We're changing the scenario. The scenario is...
No, I don't think...
No,
I don't,
it's not.
Doesn't,
it, nobody
doesn't
can,
change
nobody
my
will address the scenario.
The Bert Show. Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.